All right. So I have so many things going through my head with this message. I'll totally be honest. Like, we'll see where this goes. I made bullet points. I put pictures together. Eliza put together a video to end with today. But it's like there's all sorts of stories I want to tell. But knowing the clock is against me, right? So maybe we'll do this again or something, but we'll see where we go. My wife kind of alluded, and she said some things I'll probably reiterate, but so we asked Pastor Shabelli, I don't even know how many years ago, Pastor Chris said 10, but I don't think it was quite 10. We were like, you know, we go to like Michael W. Smith concerts and stuff, right? And you see these things where it's like, support a kid in Africa. And we were like, we want to support a kid in Africa, but, you know, we don't really want to use some organization as much as we want to try to use Greater Grace. And I have, there's cards by the door when you leave for the Armins, but there's also one for orphanages that we support. And he's like, well, talk to Pastor Chris Armin because there's something going on in Malawi and they could use some help. So my wife and I were like, all right, you know, we talked to him. And so we've been kind of helping an orphanage there, which is not really an orphanage anymore. We'll get to that later in the story. It's kind of developed. It's kind of cool in a way. But just so much going on there and how awesome it is. So first, before I pray and jump in, I just want to say thank you. You know, I can't say it enough. Like, thank you, thank you, thank you. I could say it, you know, 7 times, 70 times, and it still wouldn't be enough. You guys really made the trip happen. One of our nights in the Armin's living room, we were kind of like reflecting back at the thought of the team going and just the whole idea of what it took, really, if you think about, to get 13 of us from Malta, New York, ultimately to Malawi, Linglongwe in Malawi in Africa. What it really took is, it's like inconceivable in thinking, like it's just unfathomable. The money and the time and the details, there was so much like to a trip of this size. It was insane. But you guys really made it happen. Like, and if you're watching and you helped out, we thank you. Like everyone who prayed for us, everyone who supported financially, fundraising, whatever it was, like just first, like thank you, thank you, thank you. You guys made the trip come true. And for my wife and I, like the kid we were supporting is no longer a kid. And he's in the Bible college. He's a young man. And it was, you know, we got to meet him. His name is Mateo. And we'll hit that later. But just first, thank you, thank you, thank you. So let's pray, and we'll start with that first picture Bob just had after I pray, and I'll just kind of give you their names once quick if you don't know them all, and then also for video, I might be explaining some things that you guys heard, but also a recording, so anybody that hasn't heard it, we want to make sure. So Father, we praise you, and we thank you for this day. Hallelujah, for this message, the words we are about to hear and what you have for each one of us individually and what you have for us all corporately, Father, your words from your throne, visions, missions. Lord, we know where there is no vision, people perish, Father, and we want your heart vision for each one of our lives and for our church and for the church worldwide corporately. Bless these verses and these thoughts and these words we ask. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So to think about it, like we took 13 people, we'll say locally, two were Maine, the rest of us were Malta, and we traveled, you know, it's the flight backwards is 15 and a half hours flight time only. So traveled that far in distance. The time change is 6, 7, 8 hours, depending on where we were. I think when we were in Kenya, it was 8 hours. But I think when we were in Linglongwe, Eliza shaking her head, I'm getting it right. Linglongwe is 7 hours. So, you know, the time change affects you. The food affects you. Like, just to take 13 of us and go. And then to support the local churches there, like they have a track that looks like this one. And it's really cool. What they did is the six main churches they have planted are all on one track. So no matter where you are, you're handing out this one track. And you say, where are you from? And they say, and it's kind of like funny for us, but they're by areas. They live in Area 36, Area 3. Then you say, oh, we have a church in that area. Or we have a church right near that area. And you can point them to the local church that's by them. And also on the track, really big there is Bible College. They're huge. They have more people in their Bible College than they do in their main church. The local community just wants Bible College. They want to know the word. It's like a hunger like we don't even see here right now. It's amazing, the hunger. So here's our picture. So this is Emily, Grace, Lorenzo. I better point, right? Emily, Grace, Lorenzo, Karis, Eliza, Zeb, JL, Rayma, Jesse, Ben, my wife, Tarmigan, Michaela, and myself. That is the 13 of us. And it's kind of a funny picture because we left here. It's like 20 degrees, freezing cold outside, you know, hurts your hands. You land in Africa, it's like 90 degrees and sunny. It's totally night and day. So our next picture. And I'll be throwing a lot of pictures and verses in here. So this is kind of the back of our seat. And Eliza and I had the same idea. We took pictures of it a few different times, like where our plane was. And you'll see some of those later. But it's just kind of, this is like the big picture. Like we flew out of JFK, New York City. So we drove 3 hours south. You heard my wife say it. Our tranny went like 40 minutes-ish from the airport. And we just limped it into a Chevy dealership, jumped in the next van, and kept going. Like, we're leaving it. Called the guy, said, hey, fix it. It's under warranty. So JFK, then we flew to Nairobi. Because we had delays, we got stuck, but it was really God's providence, perfect timing, perfect will. We were thinking, oh, man, like, what can they do for us, you know? And they kind of put us up in, like, I say a compound. It was like this little area, large gate. It was kind of safe there for us. And we had to stay there 2 days, but we got to evangelize, like, every worker the entire time. And that was awesome. I'll get into more. And then from Nairobi, we hopped to Malawi. So that's where we're at. All right, so let's open up our Bibles. Oh, no, that's not yet. You can. Oh, I got a question before we open our Bibles. So here's the question for the message today, right? The question is, why did Jesus come? And before Bob puts the verse on, he's good. He's ahead of me. I'm loving it. I was ready to jump. Out of curiosity, can anybody answer that? Like, why did Jesus come? And we find one verse that really answers this, the key. Sarah is on it. My wife steals the message. Sarah steals the message. I'm going home. See you later. Why did Jesus come, right? So let's jump in. Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. And then we'll go right into Matthew from here. Luke 19, 10. And this answers the question, doesn't it? Right here. We might ask ourselves, or we might ask somebody, like, why did Jesus come? And let's build our message around this idea of why Jesus came, and let's build it around our team going to Africa, but then let's build it around us here in Greater Grace in Malta, New York, right? So the simple answer in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, New King James on the screen, for the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, has come. Why has he come? To seek and to save that which was lost. I want us all to say that just the has come on. Ready? On three. Everybody say it together. 3, 2, 1. Has come to seek and to save that which was lost. So if anybody ever asks you, like, okay, why? Why did Jesus come? I want you to simply tell them, hey, Luke 19:10 says it like this, that Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost, right? And what happens when you're seeking and saving that which is lost? Let's jump to Matthew chapter 18, and let's read a little story here. We're going to read Matthew 18. We're going to read 10 to 14, right? What happens when something's lost? It's kind of easy, right? If something's lost, I had this happen this morning. I actually had this Africa shirt that I bought while I was there, and they had me preaching like all the time, all over the place. So when I did Sunday mornings, I wore an Africa shirt, and I had it sitting on my chair for today. I was going to wear it, and I went, and it wasn't there. And then I went looking, and I couldn't find it, and I ended up being like in a ball in the dirty laundry. I was like, oh, man, I really wanted to wear that shirt. And we were seeking all over the house to find that was lost, my shirt. But I couldn't wear it. I'm like, it's too wrinkly. I can't do it. But what do we do, right? When something is lost, we go looking for it, right? And we live in a world of lost souls. And Christ says he came to seek and save that which is lost. So let's read this, Matthew chapter 18, starting in verse 10. We're going to read 10 to 14. Take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones. And this is red letter, meaning Christ speaking. For I say to you that in heaven there are angels, always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. Christ talking about God, his Father in heaven. And he explains in verse 11 exactly what we're saying. For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. To save that which was lost. Luke says seek and save. Matthew says to save. Verse 12. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, does not he leave the 99 and go to the mountains to seek the one that is straying? And if he finds it, assuredly I say to you, he rejoices more over that sheep than over the 99 that did not go astray. Even so, it is not the will of the Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish, right? So we can also say, like, Christ came to seek and to save the lost, but it's not the will of the Father that any should perish, right? He wants us. We can say each one of us individually, we can say the church corporately, we can say Malta, New York. He wants us to go into the world to seek and to save all that is lost, that none should perish. That's the heart of our God, right? That he doesn't want to see any perish. And he wants us to seek and he wants to save that which is lost. In Luke chapter 4, let's jump back to Luke. And my wife and I yesterday got up ridiculously early. We got a call Friday night and said, your Suburban's ready. And we had a drive to New York City to pick it up. So we got up really early and we're on the car ride. And I was like, hey, let's read a devotional. And she reads a devotional and this verse came up. And I was like, oh, that's such a perfect tie-in. So Luke chapter 4, 17, 18, 19. And it's Christ, and he's being handed a scroll, and he's being asked to speak, and picking up in 17, and he, Jesus, was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he opened the book, he found the place where it is written. So now, again, this is Christ speaking. It's red letter. But Christ is actually quoting the Old Testament here. So if you're a note taker, you can look it up later. It's Isaiah chapter 61, and he's quoting verse 1 in the A part of verse 2. And it's awesome if you think about it. You can imagine like you're in a room and Christ is the speaker and he's quoting the Old Testament, but listen to what he's quoting. Verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Now, this is Christ speaking. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed. And verse 19 says, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Right? So Christ came into this world to seek and to save the lost, but to help people that are in need. And it's very like detailed and it's very awesome that Christ is standing there and he's quoting the Old Testament, but he's really reading like about himself and about the will of the Father and about what God has. And I thought of this like when we went to Africa, you know, where we stayed was kind of a nicer area. We actually had electricity and water, hot water most of the time. But once you kind of left our little area and drove to areas that the different churches were in, they had no running water. They had no electricity. They had none of, you know, our perks as Americans. Like, you know, we're spoiled. We get up, we take a hot shower, we shave, we have hot water. I was shaving with cold water half the time because the sink where you shaved didn't even have hot water spout. It was only cold water. Like, we're so spoiled, right? And we think of these things, but it just goes back to this is why Christ came. He came for each one of us, but he came like for us, for the missions trip, right? He came for those people in Malawi. He came for the church that our church planted in Africa. So let's jump to some pictures, and I'll tell a little stories here. So Bob, I'm going to go picture 3 to 11, but we'll just pause. So this is kind of interesting. We rented like a 13-passenger van. It was really like a converted Jeep from Avis. It's kind of hilarious, but that's what's at the airport. That's all there is. It's this or nothing. And this is the road. So the main road is kind of paved, but as soon as you take any turn off a road, this is kind of what they look like. They're clay packed. Things are green in our pictures because we were there in rainy season and they're like grow as much as they like every inch they can grow something. They're growing something when you drive around. But when dry season hits, he says everything is brown and nothing is growing. We were in rainy season, so it looks way greener than it normally would be for them. But this is actually the road heading down to the village and the community that now the main church is in. It wasn't where the initial church was, but I'm going to just walk over here and point. You see this blue roof and the skylights? That is actually our Greater Grace Church in Malawi. It's the first church. They bought two pieces of property that are adjacent to each other alongside of a road, and it just happened to be this road. The president decided he's going to pave this road in the next couple of years. So the church is going to be on like what would be like a main paved road, which is like the best case scenario. And the waterway, what is it called, somebody? What's their name for it? The dog cemetery. They take their dead. There's at the bottom of this is like graveyard, junkyard for animals and stuff. It kind of smells a little bit. But they put their dead dogs in that river. And it's like you drive across it and we're like, this is crazy. Like, you know, why would they even do that? And that's going to tie in a little bit in where we're going next. And they don't have like the church here. Has no water, no electricity, no clean water either. The well is, it's not drinkable. They have a well, but it's used for construction purposes only. So they're bringing in water. Now let's go to the next picture. And so this is the building. It is, I mean, you ask me, I love brick. To me, it's gorgeous. This is like amazing. So the Armins have moved to Malawi roughly 10 years ago, and this building last year, if you remember, Pastor Chris spoke this. He had pictures, and they were like a third of the way up with brick. It's like brand new. Some different churches got together, and they sponsored them. A brick there, it's pennies, American dollars. Like a dollar is like, you know, a lot in construction. Like the walls, he said this whole building, I think, was 6,000 to 8,000. The most expensive part is the metal roof and the metal trusses to hold the roof. Bricks are pennies. It's pennies, bricks. Average laborer, construction worker, like $2-3 American dollars a day is a lot, like for the average person. There are richer areas and, you know, more dominant, but for this area, this community, this is the Armin's vehicle. This is Pastor Marlin. And so no glass in the windows. It's just metal bars. The other church they have is in an elementary school. We'll show those pictures later. Actually, they started fitting it up and the metal bars weren't in yet. And somebody came in and stole every light fixture, even the wiring that ran from light to light to light in the church. So that's kind of the way it is. But this is the church building. Behind it, it has like some future hope of bathrooms. And over right back here, I don't have a picture in here. 700 pictures, I tried to pick like 30 to use. So there's a 1,000-gallon water tank to collect rainwater, which will be used to flush the toilets eventually. They're nowhere near that yet. They're kind of still in process. So let's jump. And I'm going to, this is the future school. So this is like, if you ask me, this is my wife and my, this is our heart vision right here. So this is pre-K and K, first and second, and that one will be third grade. This is around three and a half feet deep, a little over a meter, he said. They dig it all by hand. They lay this brick, they lay this brick, they lay this brick. They run out of money. They wait. They wait, they wait. That was one of my wife and I's thing was let's get some of the money going for the school and for the well. That's like our next thing. What they decided to do here, which was really cool, and it's maybe one more picture, I'm hoping. Yes. So you see these little brick. It's kind of hard to see in the front. Because the main road's going to go through, they're putting storefronts, little 8-foot by 8-foot rooms that they're going to rent out to people to sell stuff so they can fund their school. So the front of the building will actually be on the main road, will be storefronts for rent to fund the school. So you can kind of see like bricks everywhere. Next picture. So this is Pastor Marlin. Pray for him. The average lifespan there is much younger than here. He's like, he's I think 55, and he's considered like an old man. Like it's like that's pretty old. And then you guys know Lorenzo. This is Pastor Chris Armin. They've been there 10 years. They're heading home, and we'll talk about their kind of the perfect mission later. And we know Karis. And right behind him, actually, is the well. They're going to be filling it in soon, but that's it's just literally an open hole in the ground with brick, and the water's really dirty. And that's what they use for the construction. So keep going. This is the garden. So they did fence it in, and that's actually the restroom back there. It's just a hole in the floor. And oh, there it is. See, you put your foot left and right, and away you go, and there's a bucket of water outside to wash your hands, you hope. We use hand sanitizer. But go back to the garden. So the garden is, you know, when it's planting season, they grow as much as they can possibly grow because that's the food, and they're feeding, you know, whoever, whatever they can possibly get out of the garden. And yeah, that's that. We'll keep going. I looked at the clock. So this is on the front of the bulletin today. This is our church in Africa. So at the end of the first Sunday message I preached, we took a group picture, and that is the team that is there. They have, because they've been there 10 years, they have some people that they brought through the orphanage to young adults who are Bible college students, who are there slowly handing everything off to all the locals, which is really like the perfect mission trip, right? We'll go one more, I think. Let me look here. Yep. Okay, so that's the church building on the inside. You can see really dirty as far as just like, you know, you're walking in clay everywhere, then you're walking in the building, and it is what it is. They have PVC plastic chairs. They have a room in the back. They keep them locked up. They take them out, set them down, put them back. That way they don't walk away on you, right? The pulpit is really cool. It's just a standing concrete slab platform, and they put cross and steel no lights, so the skylights are it. Where we were, we'll say, is kind of dangerous at night. Not really horrible like you might imagine, but it's just not, like, we would not find ourselves out on the street walking in the dark alone. You know, you are with locals or with the Armins or in vehicles at night. So when they do services, like if they do a Wednesday service, it's like at 4 o'clock because there's still daylight. Otherwise, we got stuck when we went to Zomba. I was preaching with my headlamp because it got dark and the power went out and they had nothing. All right, keep going. All right, so we'll talk about her in a second. Right after church, they just gather in a circle, and we did raps. They had a guy's rap and a girl's rap, and then everybody got together, and they had an everybody rap. Just really, like, the hunger for the word is, like, really impressed upon you. Like, and the questions are just awesome, awesome times. So we'll keep going. That's Mateo. We'll have a better picture of him. So most of the churches, no instruments at all. Like 4 or 5 people standing in front, dancing, clapping, singing. It was awesome, but no instruments. Mateo, wherever he goes, he brings the drum. So if he's in Zomba church 1 week, they get the drum. If he's in, I have the names written here, Tumbe church, then this is Tumbe, then they get the drum. And then 1 week we went to, yeah, right, there's no way I'm going to get this. When we went to that church, you know, maybe he would bring the drum. I don't think he brought it that week, but the drum kind of goes with wherever he goes. And well, the 6 churches, that's the only instrument that they're kind of sharing. But Mateo, let's start with him for, I'm going to run out of time, but we're going to pause with Mateo. So Mateo, when they went there 10 years ago, they worked hand in hand with a local run orphanage. And it's kind of a cool, awesome story in a sense. The orphanage, the lady that was running it at the time, let the Armins kind of use the orphanage to host a church service once a week. But at the same time, the Armins started helping the orphanage out. And it kind of became like a mutual working agreement that it kind of just worked really well. What ended up happening is the government got involved in the orphanage, and they said, and a new director came in, and they said, okay, guys, anybody over 15, you're kicked out of the orphanage. And basically, when it started happening, the church said, okay, we have to separate ourselves and move, you know, across the street down the road. And anybody that was 15 or older, Pastor Chris Armin, the church there started like a young boy's house. And Mateo is one of them. He was one of the 15-year-olds that got kicked out of the orphanage. And he's now in the Bible college, and he now works in the church. So that's just an awesome, awesome story. Next picture, Miriam. I can't say enough about Miriam. This is like, it's on my prayer here. I got a list for you to pray for at the end. So this young lady, we're on sketchboard. And she's a Muslim. And, you know, we were like, you know, 13 plus the Armins. We were 18 of us. You know, we're Americans. And we stood out like a sore thumb everywhere we went. We were like the local attraction, you know. So Miriam was drawn to us. That's Mateo in the background there. And some of the other guys, this is Pastor Marlon. She was drawn to us. And we gave her a track, and we started evangelizing her. And when we went to church on Sunday, she was in church. And then when they did the rap and stuff, she just came and joined us. So teenage Muslim girl, got saved, I believe, at Sketchboard, came to church, and we'll probably follow up with the Armins and be like, hey, how is Miriam doing? So pray for Miriam. Next picture. Locals, again, these guys, they brought him in, they helped them out. He's now like working by the door. He's like the usher greeter. He was standing there the whole time, just the biggest smile, ready to greet anybody that walked through the door. Next picture. All right, so this is a quick video. So this is the community right outside the door. We brought a lot of candy. The Armins were like, hey, bring candy. because you can just, you know, go out and hand it out. And the idea was we'd hand out candy with tracks. And this is maybe a little sad, awesome story and sad story. So we got to do this like the first Sunday. And then this area, so Area 36, got shut down because the water was bad. It had cholera. Is that the right way of saying it? And that's like, you know, they get locals with bad water, they get dehydrated and then they die from it. Like, you know, if we got it, we would go get an IV, drink some Gatorade. When our kids got sick, we were feeding them their version of Gatorade there. But this is just kind of like the community right outside the door. Our hope was we wanted to take a ton of tracks and a ton of candy and hit the streets here. But we actually, once it got shut down from the water, they said we're not allowed to go in that area because they'll wash their hands with the same water, they'll wash their fruits with the same water, they'll wash the vegetables with the same water. So you can imagine, like, people just get sick and sicker. So they asked us not to go back into that area, which is probably broke my daughter JL's heart. She was like, I want to go back there. But we couldn't. All right, so let's jump to another verse. And you can just leave that picture up on the screen. Thanks, Bob. Matthew chapter 16, 26. And then John 15. Matthew. And I want to just talk about the value of a soul, right? The value of a soul. Matthew 16, 26. And this is the verse. When I was just came into the church, this verse really like grabbed a hold of my heart as a teenager. It says, for what profit is it to man, Matthew 16, 26, if he gains the whole world and he loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul, right? Like, and I thought of that, like, you know, we're spoiled in so many ways, but really, like, you know, there's lots of people who are rich with earthly things or stuff, but, you know, they're destined for eternity outside of God, away from God, hell, right? And we think of that, like, in that verse, like, what profits a man if he gains everything in this world, but he loses his own soul? And, like, what is the value of a soul? Well, the value of a soul, we see like John 15, 13 says it like this. It says, greater love has no one than this, that a man lay down one's life for his friends. Right? John 15, 13. And ultimately, when we think of this, who laid their life down for each one of us? Right? And really, it goes back to that idea, Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. That was why he came. That was his purpose, as he came to seek and save that which was lost. In James 5:20, and I'm just rattling off verses here. We'll read 19 and 20. James chapter 5, verse 19, and then 20. Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins, right? So we can kind of take the Jesus seeking and saving the lost, but now let's apply it to us, right? Here we are sitting in Malta, New York on a Sunday morning, and we happen to have a track on the seat near us or on our seat, right? I want to encourage you, like, one, you know, take a mission trip sometime, wherever, you know, have a plan and a purpose and pray and let God lead you and take a mission trip. But I also want to say, like, our mission field, it's right here. We're sitting in our mission field. Like, the church worldwide is on the growth. The church in the United States of America is on the decline. Look at that statistic, right? Our mission field is when we walk out that door, the lady in McDonald's drive-thru, right? The lady in Price Chopper who checks us out, the people we work with around us, the people in our schools. Like, our mission field is all around us. I don't have to go to Malawi. I loved it, and man, it was huge for us. But I don't have to go to Malawi to be a missionary. We are missionaries right where we sit, right where we stand, right where we are. I want to encourage you, like, take that track and pray. Like, in the next couple weeks, who can you hand that track to? And who can you invite to church? Teens, who can you invite to teen ministry, right? Or who can you invite to Larry's Wednesday afternoon Bible study? Right? Who, think of the different things we may have. Women's ministry functions. My wife invited friends, and we have like three groups coming to our marriage seminar date night. They're not even our church. They just want to come to our seminar. Like, who knows what God's going to do when you hand them a track? Who knows? All right, let's jump to some more pictures. But God uses each one of us to save a soul, right? And I encourage you, like, if you've never prayed with somebody to receive Christ, like, talk to the pastors, the elders, the leaders. You know, we can help you and encourage you, but man, you can change somebody's life literally, eternally, but literally here and now. Like, when we were in Malawi, one of the things I heard from so many of the people there and the men of God is, like, you being here has blessed us so much. It changed, like, so many things. Like, in the first message I preached, the very beginning, they got up and they talked about kind of all the stuff we had to go through, in a sense, to get there, but how blessed they were to have us sitting there with them and just being part of the local church there. All right, so I'll give you homework because I'm going to skip it, but Acts chapter 25 and 26 is, we're not even going to turn there, Bob. We're just going to, you can read it, but Paul gives his testimony to King Agrippa. And when he gives his testimony, like, you know, Agrippa wants to hear what Paul has to say. And I was going to read that this morning, but I want to just say that every one of you in this room, you have a testimony. God has done something in your life that you can share with somebody else. He has blessed you, he has saved you, you know, he's helped you, whatever it may be. And Paul just gets in front of the king, and he just pours out his testimony, right? And I want to encourage you. You have a testimony, and you have a track. Like, and God has called us to go into this world and to seek and to save that which was lost. So some more pictures really quick. So Bob, I'm going 18 to, and I just might go right to 29 now. So this is kind of the Armin's driveway. I walked one day, the boy's house to the girl's house was walking distance, and I'm looking around, and I was thinking, like, I wouldn't even take my car on this road in here. I'd be scared I'd get stuck or it'd break or something. Like, there's a culvert pipe that comes down, but it's half smashed, broken right here. When it rains, everything washes, and the clay is in the road out front, and there's just, you know, there's garbage, and there's potholes. Huge, amazing culverts and potholes, and I just thought, what a crazy picture. And that's Zeb and Lorenzo. We're walking from the boy's house to the lady's house. Next picture. This is Sketchboard. Sketchboard is huge there. So they meet at the post office. This is like the center of Linglongwe. The church there is Tumbwe, the one that the main church we were with most of our time. But then all their local churches, a bunch of them come here. So you have like six churches in Malawi. Four of them are within, we say, walking distance. Some of them walk an hour to get to outreach. They do outreach. We gather around. We start. We go around. We hand out tracts, and it's like everybody wants a tract there. Like here, you know, we hand our tract, and they're like, "No thanks, no thanks." Right? That's what you get. I'm good. No thanks. There, everybody wants a track. You're handing out. We were going through tracks. We were constantly going back and be like, get more tracks, get more tracks. We handed out so many tracks. It was amazing. And then you tell them we're going to tell a story, and they all want to hear the story. So they gather around. This is one of our crowds. And they're on the streets. They're walking around with buckets with like eggs or bread, and they're just trying to sell you everything, bread, eggs, bananas. We actually couldn't, because if they washed it with the bad water, then we could get sick. So we had to be very careful to what we ate and didn't eat. And we still kind of lost that game a little bit. So that's us here in the background. So you kind of start becoming the crowd, and then they kind of join in. But this was awesome. And then he says in the end, hey, you want to pray to receive Christ? He gives us salvation. Come up and get a track, you know. And every time people were praying with us, people were coming up, people were getting tracks. And, you know, their big push, I can't say it enough, Chris Rice is in the hallway, was Bible college. They would say, hey, we have Bible college. They have 120-something people going to their Bible college, and their church is like 60 or 70 people, the main church. Like double in the Bible college. And they had, before COVID, they had over 200 going to Bible college before COVID. So then after, they break out in groups, and because your locals are there, like you say, where are you from? And they say, hey, I'm from the Zomba branch. Then maybe a guy from the Zomba branch goes and talks to a guy that was in Zomba. So it was really cool in that way. We can just keep going here. I'm going to run out of time. So this is the Zomba church. They meet in an elementary school. They delayed service a little bit. They're a startup church, and they have a guy from Zambia and a lady from Uganda, right? Wait, opposite? The husband and wife aren't even from Malawi. They got chased out of where they were, and they ended up coming to Malawi to plant the church in Zomba. This one got dark on us rapidly, and we ended up having no power, so I was preaching with a headlamp on. So we'll keep going. And they use elementary school. So I took this picture. This is kind of just, this is the school. This is a classroom or one of the meeting rooms in a school. This is what it looks like. 5 of our 6 branches, they rent an elementary school. So that's where they have church. And literally, there was a guy running down the hallway, grabbing desks and chairs from classrooms to fill the church, and then they have to bring them back and forth. All right, next picture. So this is Pastor Moses and his wife. And after service, we went and had a meal with them. And this is their cousin, and he came there to help them out. And they are the ones in Zomba planting the church. So you can just keep him in your prayers. That one's good. That's a good one. So in Kenya, this is the airport. You can see he's carrying something like an AK-47. I'm not sure. Somebody else would better know. But everywhere, somebody said to me, at least we're safe, right? At least we're safe. All right, next picture. So this is our other church in Mwendakondo. This is where we went another Sunday. So we went kind of church to church, preaching, evangelizing, whatever we were doing, trying to be with the locals when we could be, when and where we could be. But this is just kind of, this is where their first church plant was, the initial church. And then they started looking for property. So next picture. So this is another elementary school that is rented for the other church. Next picture. This is the other church. So as we went, we tried to take some group shots, and we just kind of fill you in. Next picture. So this is preaching in that church. They have a lot of like banners. They show up, they hang a banner on the wall, and this is Greater Grace Church of whatever, and then they just go and they have service. And so he's the senior pastor there. His name is escaping me at this moment. He also was singing and dancing in the beginning, and they had no instruments in this service. Next one. So this was paint day. So we were almost on our way out, leaving. And as we went around, we kind of would bring food with us, and we would feed everybody bread, peanut butter, whatever we had, Coca-Cola, water. So JL and Raymar are just making sandwiches and we're handing them out. And this is the wall that in the first picture was just concrete. One of the things we did while we got with them to put on a project, and we painted some of the bare walls gray. So now the inside of their church is actually brick and paint. And our teens did that. Next picture. So that's right after my wife, Eliza, JL, and some others. They painted the stage, the wall, and they had like a strip going around. So that's kind of one of the projects the teens did while we were there. Keep going. So this is Wilson. This is in the Kenya where we kind of got stuck layover. And so many stories, and I'm just going to pray in a second here. But he ended up being a local youth pastor. And he was like, it's not safe for you guys to leave this compound. And it was kind of cool because it was like God's provision. We're like, oh, should we go for a walk downtown? And it was like, no, you shouldn't. You shouldn't. But we met in this compound. We met many other people, one I prayed with. And it was just like God needed us there to build them up there in Kenya also as well in Malawi. So let's jump to our very beginning verse, Luke chapter 19. And I'm going to give you 3 points. Ben, you got your notebook. He always likes his points. Luke 19:10. And then I think we'll end with, we have two more pictures. Luke 19:10, 2 pictures. I'm sorry, I'm going a little long. All right. So we ask ourselves the question, why did Jesus come? And it's pretty easy answer when you read scripture. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost, right? And I want to encourage you guys, and here's our 3 key points of the message if you want to take something away. Luke 19:10 is your first key point, is Jesus Christ came to seek and to save the lost. Your second point, which I didn't hit too much, is Acts 25 and 26. Paul had a testimony. Each one of you in this room, you have a testimony. God has done something in our lives, individually and corporately. God has a testimony. That's point number 2. You have a testimony. Point number 3 is you are a missionary. Right where you sit, you are a missionary. God uses each one of us to seek and to save a world that is lost, whether it's in Malawi, Africa, or in Malta, New York. God uses us. 3 points. 1, Jesus Christ came, why? To seek and to save the lost. Point number 2, Acts 25 and 26, Paul had a testimony, you have a testimony. Point number 3 is you are a missionary. All right, 2 last pictures, and we'll wrap this up. And then we have a slide. We'll dismiss you, and if you want to stay and watch it, you can, because I'm out of time. So they do radio. I thought that was kind of cool. So they used our messages, and they stuck us on the radio at nighttime. He then sent us a link like a week later for us to listen to ourselves. Next picture is just Facebook. So this Red Cross, I wanted to show, because there's no way I could get everything in. If you go on Facebook and you type in Greater Grace Teen Ministry of Malta, New York, just like that, you look for the Red Cross. There's a photo album, and it's dated 25. I think I redated it after this to 24 is when we left. But it has a couple hundred pictures if you want to see more. So we are going to take a door offering today. One of the things the church is working on next is they're looking to get a well that's a couple hundred feet deep. If they get a well that's a couple hundred feet deep, they actually will have clean running water. So that's something we're praying about. The dar offering today will go to Africa, and we'll go to, specifically, I think we're going to target the well next. And we're going to do some fundraising this summer. We're going to get them a well. A well there is between, to get a crew to come in, do it properly, have it clean water, it's between $1,000 and $3,000 is about what it runs. But then they have running water forever. He said at the church it'd probably be a little over 2 because they don't have rock, but they're going to have to go deep to get good clean water. All right, let's pray. So, Father, we praise you and we thank you. Father, thank you that Christ came to seek and to save the lost. Thank you for our team, Mission Malawi. Thank you for our church here in Malta. Thank you that each one of us have a testimony. and that we are a missionary right where we sit, in our work, in our school, in the store, everywhere we go, we are missionaries. And if you don't know Jesus Christ, he has come to seek and to save you personally. He loves you. He has a plan. He has a purpose. If you don't know him and you want to know him, you're watching online or you're sitting here with us, if you want to know Jesus, just ask him. Say, Jesus, come into my life and live. I want to know you personally. Jesus, thank you for dying on a cross for my sins. By your Holy Spirit, come into my life and live. If you've prayed that, you never prayed before, reach out to us so we can reach back, so we can give you a Bible, so we can encourage you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, so if you're a note taker, I'm going to give you a couple quick prayer requests. Chris is